I'll give the same Akdoma that I said the first two times. Hopefully it's the last one today, anyhow. Same Akdoma, that it's nice to be here. Nice to see a group of youngsters setting up life outside the confines of the Ir HaBiro, the Jewish Krakim of New York, and deciding to bring up their families in a nice, quiet and calm surrounding. Nice environment, next to a yeshiva, next to a Mishkan Hashem. You have no idea what step you've made, and I'd like to show my the praise, but I think what a good move this is in terms of family life. I just want to bring a certain machshava out into the open. We have to be fully aware. I think you have a great obligation and a great responsibility, and I'll soon explain what I mean. I feel there's a great difference, a shinu yesoidi, between life in America today to what it used to be in the pre-war years and in the generations gone by. In generations gone by, Yidden used to live on places, whatever I mentioned before, whether it was Hungary or Lithuania, Germany, France, in the Oriental countries, where they lived for hundreds of years, where they settled. Some go back to 1,000 years ago, when Yidden settled in those medinas. And you can well imagine that over the generations, every generation had its gedolim, its erliche Yidden, who made their imprint on the mokim, and they permeated kedusha with avodas Hashem, with mesiras nefesh for Yiddishkeit in these mekoymos. And then the generations after that, they had a tradition to follow. They had a tradition to follow. The minhogim were well kept in all these medinas. They knew exactly, they had gedoyle rabbonim, who took care, who were the shoimrim of the mesoiris, the guardians of this heritage. And they knew exactly what life was all about and what the standards of life should be. Since the Holocaust, since that war, I'm the first one to say it, I'm just repeating what Gedolim have said, a great change took place in Klal Yisrael, not only in terms of the number Rachmon and Etzlan that were annihilated in that terrible, terrible tragedy, but there's another point. The whole Mesoiris became a bit faltery. Meaning to say, Yidden came along here to these shores of Ellis Island, a ganze tummel from all types of medinas. America itself does not have a Mesoira. America itself, when it started off, I don't know how many years ago, 300 years ago, whatever, they made an anniversary lately, I went to the first shul I saw in Providence, the Esh, the shul, which is, and now it's a good day, you know, for the museum piece. But America did have a Mesoira. Whoever came here at the beginning, I have no idea who they were. I'm sure there was some Mesiris Nefesh, which they should be, sure they would truly be rewarded for. But there was no Mesoiris, there were no Gedoyim at that time. And there was one Godel who did come along, the Yankiv Yosef, who became Rof, the General New York, Hotelachat Soris Tsuris, and it's a double you do. He stumped died from all his aggravations that he had with a lack of Kvoid HaToyre and Kvoid HaRabonis that prevailed that time, those times in America. So I would say, in another language, that America started off on a left footing. Not a nice thing to say. It used to be called the Amreiko. Amerika is Amreiko. I mentioned this before. Empty, void of Yiddishkeit. And when the Chazanish was asked if someone wanted to emigrate from Litte to America, he says, from Litte going to America is like going from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Lorenz. Befrat zokter shachosid achofetz chayim void in the Litte. Surely one should not leave Litte. So at that time it was known as the Medina Atzmeyo, and we know even the standards in America at that time. If you read some tshuvas in the older Sforim, what went on even in the more so-called religious circles, but you used to make a yeshiva function with mixed dancing, pardon me going into detail, Hashem Yishmeredu. And it was even asked if you can do it or not. But even given Chayde Laven Min HaTorah, mit HSH, mit alle Sachen, and whatever it is, Chayde Laven, but for the sake of the yeshiva. So at that time, I'll tell you simply, it's what we call in the Loshon Chazal at the beginning of Bereishis, it was Oya V'choyshech Mishtamshim Barvuvia. A great choyshech with a little bit of Oya, which were Mishtamshim Barvuvia. Thank God that there came a certain period when Gedolei Yisrael did set foot upon these shores. Reb Aaron Schusse Yogin Oleinu, Reb Aaron, Rav Schusse Yogin Oleinu, Reb Henkin, and others, Reb Schusse Yogin Oleinu, who brought a lot of Kedusha. I don't want to leave out any names, and other great people as well, who brought Reb Moshe Schusse Yogin Oleinu. They brought about a Gevalte revival of Torah, mit Halacha, mit Kedusha, into this soil of America, which for so many years was void of any Kedusha, without the Messiah. Oh Hashem, it's building up. You have a tough kid, Rabbi, and I want to tell you, you've set shore, you set place down more. Now Waterbury, all that Waterbury has for its name, besides what it used to have, a conservative shul, which has now been transformed into a yeshiva, listen and it's besides that, I mean, I ain't going to see that Togevoin, but there's some others. Rav Gifter used to live here. I passed by his house, and I'm sure his being there also attributed to what you have today. Because I wish to forget these Sachen, there was an autumn godly here in this part. You are setting up a new settlement here, okay? So listen what this is. You don't have the Messiah, you didn't have grandfathers living here, you haven't got actually what to follow exactly. So very often I feel that the standards of the society you're living in are going to be set by you. The settlement of Jungelite, Balebatim, Bedeutere, Balebatim, this combination, the Sochos, the Zvulun, eine gete d'arbet, aber sit to learn, this is going to be the core, and this is going to be the yesoid of what's going to come about in Waterbury, and in the Koimus, which I hope will also start building up soon, which is Emes, a sign of Mashiach Zeit, and believe me, that in such a mokim, but I never saw a former Yid come out until now, and to see this, well, I'm fascinated at what I'm seeing here. But I'm coming from somewhere else, and to see this, and I long had in mind to come, not even to talk, just to see the place. It's moiridik in the world to see. On the other hand, you have a great responsibility. It's not poshut, it's a schus, but it's a great responsibility, especially when you're living in an environment of a yeshiva, with such atzlocha, with so many b'nei Torah. The standards that have to be set up in such a place, in Adova Poshut, have to be done in the same way that Yidden used to do in the olden times when they set up, when they set foot on any place. They say, Amoyra de Gezach, the way the Ashkoche Potis goes, there was a certain ship that pirates kidnapped and overtook it on the middle of the seas. And on that ship, there were four Gidoilim who went from Bovel to other Medinas to raise funds for the yeshivas in Bovel. I'm going back many, many years, over 1,000 years ago. And on that ship, the pirates came and they attacked it, and they took the people, they captured them, and they put them all in different places. And it's a famous story. Four of the people on those ships were Gidoilim Yisrael. One of them was even the father of the Rabbi Yochanan. His name was Rav Chushiye. A Gidoilim Yisrael. And he set foot in Africa. One they put in Italy, and in the various countries in West Europe. What a Nashgoche that was. Rav Chushiel was the one who actually started off Yiddishkeit in Africa. From when he came, slowly built up, he built up a yeshiva, and from then on. And we know that in all the mekoymes that Yidden were, we have no idea, we don't even know, how much Mesiris Nefesh in all the European countries especially, and in the Oriental countries where the Sfardim lived, a lot of Mesiris Nefesh on the part of great Tzadikim, a lot of Mesiris Nefesh on the part of Stam Yid Mutam Dot Gevoyim, and they built in, and as I said before, they permeated Kedusha and sanctity into the Mekoymus. So when the next generations came along, they had that Gesunte Yesoid, that Gesunte foundation of what they could base their lives and the standard of life on the tradition that was passed over from generation to generation. It's difficult today. And today it's doubly difficult. The difficulty of the world we're living in today is because everybody today is an international figure. It's not what it used to be. I'm already getting tired of Shtetl and Poyman and the litter. What did the person do? They lived in that surrounding. They had this Rof, they had the Kehille, they had the Mokin Teure, the Stiebeluch, the Bottom Midroshim. And if somebody did go out to business, he might have been a peddler who might have gone to the neighboring village to sell his wares. Over everything focused and concentrated on the place where they live, with their home, with all their minhagim, and with their lifestyle. Today is a world, the world of button pressing, where every little child is exposed to everything that's going on in the world. And that's the way we are brought up. A person can see a lot today. Very lot you can see. We're exposed to the outside world in a very great way. We know everything that's going on everywhere. We're just the press of a button. Here we have emails, we have other kelim. I don't even want to mention them in a base of medrash. All the kelim are being used today. Yoris Galten, Nishtois Galten. But everybody wants to know what's going on everywhere. And when you're exposed, especially when we're dealing with this kelim which brings you news from everywhere, then we see what's going on in many places, and here comes a grave problem. The great problem is, I want to tell you a certain chazal which I just discussed last Shabbos. Well, I'm in my shul, I am. And for something, and I said it on Friday night, excuse me. I had a certain chazal which I saw, very interesting. And this is one of the great problems we're confronting today. Chazal say, why was the Torah given by Chodesh HaShlishi? Why was the Torah given on the third month? Could it be given on another month? The chazal posed that question. When the chazal zogen azoi, they compare it to the Chodshei Havchone. Now Chodshei Havchone means when a Giyoris wants to marry after she was Mizgai, after she converted, she has to wait 3 Chodoshim. If she was married before, Kedei Lahavchin Bein Zera Shenizra Bikdusho LeZera Shenizra. If you learn to give over in Yevomis once a while in Yeshiva, but you don't get so far, don't think, eh? Because this is already the Mems. That's already the second half of the Masechta. Not today. Unless you learn the keys a little bit. But at the end of Abo Achim, there's a Gemara about Chodshei Havchone, which means that because if she's conceiving a child from when she was a goiter, if she's going to marry within 3 months, it could have a child, let's say, after 7 months into a new marriage, the child might be 9 months from the previous marriage, Ben Tesmit, Ben Zayim, it might be a Goyish child. And you have to know exactly if the Jewish child is going to be born. So she has to wait this period of 3 months. And then she'll be able to marry, and you'll know that the child that's born is a Zera Shnizra Biktusha. Because of that, Zom Chazal, the Torah was given on the third month that should have, it wasn't fully 3 months, it was 49 days, I don't know, but it's the third month, Nisan Iyar Sivan, to compare it and to have a certain connection with the Chodshei Havchone, that they should also be Mavchin between what they had previously and what they're about to accept now, they receive the Torah. What's the kesher of Chodshei Havchone, where we're dealing with a child to know if it's a Yiddish kin, it's a Goyish kin, what's that going to do with Matan Torah in the third month? Just because it's three with three, it doesn't make sense. What's the Oymek Kavonos Chazal? So I saw the following pshat. The Rebbein Yisrael, when he gave us the Torah, he knew that Yidden had lived in Mitzrayim for a long period, 210 years. And 210 years in Mitzrayim means, like many Jews, those who perished in the Makkas Choshech, they adapted to the Egyptian way of life. The Egyptian culture penetrated into the Jewish society. Many of them didn't even want to leave Mitzrayim. The Medrash says they had patrons, you know, patronim, where they were managers and they had good parnosses. They didn't want to leave it. They enjoyed life in Mitzrayim. They stayed. They didn't come out of the time. It's unbelievable. 4/5 of Klal Yisrael says Chazal. Those who came out, seem to be, had not yet uprooted totally their attachment and their shaykhus to the way of life and the culture they saw in the time. It's very hard to uproot something that we used to over many, many years. The Ribbono Nishan Olam didn't want to give the Torah to a nation that still contains in itself, inside, still holds on to anything which has any shaykhus to Goyish culture. So therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam had to wait till the third month to segregate Yidden and to separate them like Chotche Avchone, that you should know. What until now was there, Ashenizra Shaloi Biktusha, from now on I want your style of life to change. It should be a Yiddish way of life. An authentic and original Yiddish way of life. Adibi Yidin Dafen Leiden. Without any Goyshe attachments. Those are the three Chotche Avchone, what the Rebbe Yisrael wanted before Matan Avchizeina Mola Pshat. It's always been part and parcel of Yiddish life. Always been. That Hein Am Levodot Yishkoi. Our style of life is Levodot. As much as we live together with a goy, you know, the Vishnu Tzarema once said, the Imri Chaim, Chus Yogin Oleinu, he said, Medav Leben, Medav Zain Gitzi De Goyim, Aber Nish Mit De Goyim. We have to be good towards them. We have to be polite. We have to be mentioned. We have to be the Kaddish Shem Shomayim, but not be good with them. It's a different style of life. We don't live with the goyim. We're good towards them and not with them. I have a parshat and a posuk with that. Over the Meiser, that's what Yiddishkeit is all about. And it's always been the style of life of us Yidden which kept us going. Dafke because it used to be in a form of a ghetto where Yidden used to live separately. They didn't mingle. The moment Yidden integrated and emancipated, at the time of the beginning of the Ashkola, when they started emancipating into Goyish society, that's when trouble started. Then the Goyim, then you had these Mendelssohns and other characters who started adapting Sheikhs in a strong way and looking at the Torah with a little Goyish culture, Goyish point of view, and it landed up until Shmad. It's a Dome Yedua that Mendelssohn either was not noted at the time, but later on his Einikloch, Mamish went to Shmad. And the Chassam Sofer, he foresaw it. He foresaw that this style of life, what it meant. It has always been, that's the way of life which Yidden had. Today, it's very difficult, Rabbi Yisai, due to the exposure. One of the tzaddikim said, what in the olden times a person of 50 had not yet seen in his life, today they see it at the age of 10. At the age of 10, a little boy knows more what's going on in the world than once upon a time at the age of 50. And a lot of things crosses his eyesight. A lot of things. And I always say, a little child, especially in the teenage years, the passion is high, but the intellect is very low. He hasn't got das. He hasn't got seichel to be able to control his habits. In Koibestein, the Yetzorara, but the passion is high. My yasa haben shelo yachto. And we all know Rabbi Yisai. Let's be frank. We've all had difficulties with the teenage years. Great difficulties due to the exposure that we're involved with today. And I mean the Iker in the Yonim from Kedusha. It's a great problem for your main one. And Al-Kadekach, I do not want to go into detail because we're all in the same boat. But this is something which one has to have a kapora on this world before he leaves it. Otherwise, very bitter. And we have to do something to it. To be machin the gevulos haktusha. And let me explain. It's very hard. You know, we go into business, those who are in business, we know what the world at large is today. Where there is no sensitivity to anything which is considered moral. The immorality, the abominations, the schmutz, the te'eva of the goyish world. The idolizing of anything which is to able in the world of today. As long as there's a lot of money involved. The idolizing. The way of dress. The whole style of life, which is mamish reached to the point that mamish were walking around in a zoo. What I mean in a zoo, they might be dressed like humans, but they're not. But the behavior is behemish. The behavior of men and women alike in the goyish world and the secular world is leider mamish. It's behemish instinct. And as you boys who are trying to retain a certain degree of sanctity, here we are in the middle of everything. What can we do? Can we keep shmir on eyes? But I want to tell you, Rabbi Yisai, we have to work on it. We have to work on the shmir of Suenayim is eine von Jesuitis von Ayid. A Yid who doesn't take care of what he sees. But Rav Segal in Manchester once said, we want to see when you come back to Zion. Hat er gesagt mit his sprach, he was an odem godel. Welche Egen? Which eyes want to see Bishuf von Zion? Deine tommedige Egen?
who's not gesehen den ganzen Schmutz in der Welt and all this vulgarity that's going on, mit dem willst du sehen ziehen.
You can't face it. The ruchnis of ziehen will be too strong for your gashmistige looks. There's a mulderige schaar steht in this forum ag deutschem. Because believe me, the Rebbeinu Shloim is aware that we have a difficult task today.
He knows it. And the tzaddikim said that in our day and age, if a person is koivesh himself at the time when he needs to be, his chal is godoil ad me'oit like a tzaddik. Because the Rebbeinu Shloim knows it. But people have to be aware there's an avodas Hashem which involves shmiras reinayim. In a little way to start off, shmiras oznayim, shmiras hapeh, nicht zu reden, because in the world at large there's a lot of nivel peh going on in the business world, and people think it's choshev, you know, to make such silly remarks. I'm not out of the world, I know what's going on. I was myself in business sometimes, if you will. A prosten oylem is ikonisht. And we have to be sensitive to it, and the Rebbeinu Shloim, it's not easy. But we have to work on it. And it's a big problem. And we have to set up, you have a duty here, much more. Believe me, in New York it's difficult. In New York a lot of standards have been set, in the Yiddish world as well. Standards which were not al piktat gdoil. Tosfos says in Psochim, in Mechush Rabu, every minute that balbatim am yasid, lo shmei minik. Because minik, if you turn around the oisius of minik, it becomes gehemen. Same oisius. If it's not the right one. The minhogim, there are certain set standards at weddings. I have an old article on the deal last week, the Simcha supplement about the weddings that we have today. It's not the Ruach Yisrael Sodder. My dear ones, believe me, I know what a Jewish wedding is supposed to look like. I don't come out elevated of any Simcha I go to. I have to join them. It's just, you know, a happy-go-lucky type of atmosphere. I'm not elevated. You might see boys coming out sweating with the shirts flying all over. When you have these singers, you know, come with long, dangling, curly locks, and act like in a nightclub, and that's supposed to be a Yiddish Simcha where the Shechin is supposed to come down. It's a Stück Schmutz. When I look at that person, he's the one who's entertaining us, and we have Orthodox entertainers who also become quite goyish. I want to tell you one thing. New York is a difficult town. There's a lot of Yiddishkeit there, but a lot of set standards with them in Nisht Teuredig. The famous Nisht Teuredig. It's very hard to deal with such a huge island. But I want to tell you, and the Iker, what we have to be careful about, as Balabatim, very careful, when we set up a new Mokim, when in the olden times, every new Mokim, where the Yesoides, if the Yesoides are weak, then you cannot expect anything else to come up afterwards. Yesoides have to be strong. And the Iker, what the Rebbeinu Shloim wants, he wants an Avira Shel Kiddusha. And the Iker Avira Shel Kiddusha is Negea to Inyon and Fitzinius. We have to be aware of it, Rabbi Yisai. It's all good to learn a Daf Yoimi. You know, you have people, they think they're Yoitze. Avada you have to learn. Without Teure, fangt sich gar nicht on. It's just not enough. It's not enough. Somebody can learn the Daf Yoimi, he'll get his reward. There's noch nicht Kaid am Hitten steigen. Then it's euer Bechäuschig mit Stamtzen Barwuvje. Zu Atome. If somebody doesn't daven properly, with Dveikis, with his Stabkes an Nefesh, then he's not connecting to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. I is learning, very nice, so he's not connecting. He has no word, he can't even talk to God. There's no way he can connect. The Iker we have to know. You're a younger light, I know it. Younger light. I know when a person is young, he has a lot of fantasies in mind. If the man is young, the woman is young, what I suggest, and I feel it's important to say, because I know what the American scene is all about. Very often, I heard there's a restaurant open just now, I just got to hear about it. I'm not excited. For American people, of course, because Melava Malki has to go to the restaurant. I find the Melava Malki at home is much more conducive for chinuch. What do you go and sit out in the restaurant and look at other families? Or do you kick to that with Melava Malki? I think the best chinuch for a child is to make a nice Melava Malki at home. It's wonderful, the tits on the neighbors, in the zing, in the tzipur, tzadikim. That's how you mechanech a Jewish house. This is goyish. Where did Yidden take it from? From the goyish world. In terms of dress, what do we wear today? What do our wives wear very often? They go into stores, and I said it before by the women as well, you go into stores which sell, shall I call it, provocative type of dress, because the one who made it is the Hashmutz. Somebody in Paris, a designer, wants to make a lot of money, and he's trying to attract, and he's dafka making these dresses to Chutah, which is the exact opposite of Kol Kivud HaBasmelech Prima.
Because a Yiddish woman should not be exposed. The only person she has to look nice for is her husband.
I told the women before, not when you go out of the house, you dress nicely and tidy to impress someone else. At home, you don't have to stay with a pre-breakfast look always. You have to look nice for your husband.
And of that I have come in my Mamore Chazal and read them
elders. There's a big mistake today. And when it comes out, go to work, then they suddenly get excited.
Jeder Mensch darf wissen, that the Icke place from a person is to build up his house to be a Mokim L'Ashroas HaShchina. Ashroas HaShchina means that the Halochi should guide him. And I know that Shlomo Zalman Neuerbach once came back to his house. It's a famous thing. And before he came, he tidied himself up, you know, as if he's going to meet someone. So he said, have you got a guest in your house? He said, no, I'm going to be mekabel p'nei Shchina.
Which Shchina was he being mekabel in his house? But Shlomo Zalman lived out pi halocha.
He didn't make a move without conferring to the halocha, to the Shulchan Aruch.
That was the way. And you can imagine the sneers that prevailed. And the Sholem Weiss, how wonderful it was.
By the Levi of his wife, I said it over before as well, Zidua,
he said to his wife, I'm asking you Mechila, but I have nothing to ask you Mechila for. Because we never got angry one with another. And he doesn't even remember ever, it was 80 odd years, he doesn't remember ever having been in an angry mood with his wife, you know, being angry. Now, I don't know what we are doing exactly, but you know, after a month or two of marriage, 3 months, I said, the Kol Chosim, the Kol Kala gets a bit higher than the Shadow Bob. Oy, Gishoma, Biore Yehuda, the Kol Chosim, you know, have you seen the Chosim Kala talking to each other, the Shadow Bob is the nicest of the nicest. One talking to the other, still whispering, everybody trying to make the impression on the other. Who are they trying to cheat? A few months later, behind the curtain, then the octaves, the waves go up higher in the Heitung Shtereden, the Vorim Kedar Boynes, and one tries to belittle the other one. Yeah. Das heißt ein jüdischer Stub. Schinne ist da in the house of Shlomo Zalman, where one respected the other. Husband and wife respected. And here Kizachi, the Sheikite, you have a duty, Rabbis, I want to tell you, I'd like to tell you a lot of things, to set up a Mokim Kodesh in this place. Don't make it goyish. And don't follow New York. I said a joke lately that, you know, today when you want to talk about a Fatzata Shayid, have you ever heard what Fatzata Shayid means? A Yid used to live in the olden time. Look, man, a Yid from Warsaw, a Yid from Vilna, you know, go back to the olden time. In 50 years from now, what are we going to say a Fatzata Shayid? A Borger Park Yid. That's going to be a Fatzata Shayid. I want to tell you about his size. The style of life going on in New York is not what it should be. As much as a lot of Jews there, we're a bit helpless to a certain extent because of that, but we try our best to keep things going in a certain way. It shouldn't get worse.
But I wouldn't advise you in Waterbury to follow their style of life. And I tell you why plainly. Because Yiddish life was never meant to be in an excessive gashmistic way. And I feel if people come to live here, then they're trying to get away from this excessive gashmistic. New York is a place, I'm not trying to be mekatrik, but I want to bring out the beauty of this place. You're setting up ground now. You're the ones who are creating this new kehila. We don't know exactly when Mashiach will come, but it could be for generations. It has to be meyusid. And one of the essentials of Yiddishkeit is that whenever you set up a mokum Torah, don't get involved in the excessive digigashmis which is prevailing in America today. Because that takes you away from any madrigas and avoidus Hashem. There's a big arichas, I don't go through the to show him all this for him. Excessive gashmias is not conducive to set up nice families, and it only brings excessive tavas, achilu, shtir, leads up chas v'sholem to other tavas and worse things, which can happen because of, without going into arichas. It would be the most beautiful thing that you make a new style in this Medina. Waterbury, start off on a new style. In Stedloif a Yiddishkeit, Azoibis is Gevein in the Haim in a Yiddish Shtick. It would be such a wonderful, which will make an exhibition once out of this, and show via Yiddish Shtor. Don't follow on the standards which have been going down. Now, because this is standards without the Mesoira. This is standards that have been set by Balibatim, not by Gedoy the Torah. The Gedoyle Teure didn't set up all these restaurants and all this excessive
things, luxury that are going on in New York, I'm Ein Sof with all the commercialism, with all the ads in the newspapers, with all these Pesach holidays that I mentioned before in the yeshiva. They're all becoming part and parcel of life, as if you don't go Pesach to California, you've never known what Pesach is all about. Chama shuk in a world, they don't know exactly in what a net they've fallen into. But from all these people, the Karai Gobel Mishtar Oizvah. I guarantee you, from this style of life, that is Oizvah and Karai Gobel be Yisrael. And it's a great pity that it should be like that. So when you set up a new Kehidah, based, and especially when you're in the environment of yeshiva, keep it that way. Keep it that way. It should be a place that's conducive to bringing up children, the Ruach Yisroel Tzover, with a canon song, now Waterbury is a richtige Yiddish shtetl. It would be so wonderful, and believe me, I'll come to visit you again if it's possible. You can invite me for sure. I'd like to come. I find you very nice people, and I think your being here itself is a great plus. That means you're looking for something else. It's not only cheaper housing. It's a style of life, Rabbi Yisrael. It's a quietness. Yeah, I would come here for a while as well. I wouldn't mind being here a year as well. I can't get away from my job. I'd like to get away from New York. It's very difficult. Do it, I'm a chayer. So still, you can serve HaKadosh Baruch in the most nicest way. And let's keep it up. This aura of Kedusha and all the good things that this town has to offer to you. Without all the other detractions, where we get detracted from Avodas Hashem. The Rebbeinu Shlomo Zal Helfen, I'm not going to keep you long, it's my third time, it's hard for me to continue now. The Rebbeinu Shlomo Zal help you all to be able to raise your families, the Ruach Yisroel Tzover, Rabbi Yisrael, in the right, nice way, and set up these real batim lemonim, la'ashem u'le'toyrosoi, and the Ruach Yisroel Tzover, the Yisroel Hashem v'choes po'er, and we should be zoicha with these wonderful houses, believe me. To be Mekalev, the Geula, and to meet up with Mashiach with Heir of Yomei Mohammed. What about now?
When did you have Magna Gnabra right now?
Where?
In this place,
right here?
Right here, you're right now.
Hello.
What's your name?